Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and I'm here to let you know that Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is not safe for work. We are teachers at the end of our week and really the end of our ropes, and we are going to be using pseudonyms so we can, you know, talk honestly about our jobs and still keep them. Because, you know, even though we talk shit about teaching, we really do like what we do. We have a passion for it. That's why we've been doing it so long. Anyway, before we get into the podcast, I'd like to thank a lot of our patron donors out there. So here we go. A big thank you to Miss Lauren S., Kristen B., Megan R., Hoovian, Ashley M., Jason F., Amber H., JJO, Brian S., Jeff S., Shelly K., Abby B., Ann T., Sarah B., Regina B., Anna L., Josie S., Sam B., India G., Lucy P., Mary E., Jamie B., Hope H., Aaron D., Kristen W., Vanessa J., Kate C., Mary C., Haley M., Rylan L., Catherine S., Perla C., Kelsey W., RJR, Cara T., Kristen C., Johanna H., Tony and Christina K., Irma A., Rebecca J., Melissa M., Casey B., and Sarah N. If you would like to join up and have your name read at the begin, for as little as $5, $10 a month, you can become a patron of Teacher Needs Drink Podcast. That's right, go to Patreon and you can get all kinds of extra bonus episodes, lost episodes, interviews with the host, you get to message with us, you see the random shit that I come up with and post when I just don't really feel like editing the podcast, and you get access to things like our Teacher Needs a Drink watch party. We're going to be doing a watch party this Friday, April 16th, of the movie Bad Teacher, where at 9 p.m. Central, you can watch it with us and get to talk shit with us, and we do a drinking game. It's going to be fun. That's this Friday, but it's only for the patrons on Patreon. And also, each month you're a patron, you get free swag that says Teacher Needs Drink on it. It's awesome. I'd also quickly like to thank our host, Lud Lamb Dramatics, for sponsoring us. They have all kinds of great teacher stuff for the theater teacher in your building and those who just need help teaching theater. It's the key and the best stuff in the world. If you're a theater teacher in one of your building, send them to ludlambdramatics.com. And last, friends, if you get a chance, please just write a review of the podcast, send us a message, something like that. It just goes a long way, and honestly, the best way you can help spread the word about our podcast, find one person in your building and just tell them something about what you've done. Or hell, get them in on the step bet we're doing. There's more about that in the podcast. All right, my friends, episode 79. I hope you enjoy it. Here we go. Cheers!
I was talking shit too. I shouldn't have.
I can always go back to Bunny just saying balls.
Ball. Oh, okay.
Because we used that to talk about sweaty balls whenever we started that.
Yeah, I used to sing a song called "Lick My Sweaty Balls," which was definitely
lick my chocolate sweaty balls.
Yeah, it was not well received. I can always go with a chocolate coated type of
You know what? Let's just start here. Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and today I'm joined by three fabulous people. I'd like to introduce you to them. With me today, I have Miss Lucy Elaine.
Hi, y'all.
And also joining us, Count Chocolate.
Count your chocolate blessings.
And after a brief absence, we have the return of Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Hey, Elvis. Yay.
I am so glad you're back. Well, my friends, I'm curious, how have you been? What's been going on this last week or two? I mean, does anyone have anything? We had kind of beginning of testing. We had the beginning of all kinds of crap. But Lucille, what's going on in your life right now?
It's not bad. The entire state of Texas, shut down. It's like they broke the internet with Star, and it was terrible. Some schools were just like, we're not doing this. And then mine, they still made my kids submit. It was horrific.
You know, I kind of forgot. We briefly talked about that during the Patreon podcast. We recorded a Patreon exclusive last weekend where we spend a while talking about the Star, but I never even thought about, because it was mostly elementary kiddos. Count talked about his phone just blowing up like some emergency had happened.
Yeah. And you know, what was so terrible about it is because I teach SPED, I had to go and put in their login information from their testing tickets every single time it shut down. And let me tell you, it was at least 16 times or more.
Oh, jeez.
So, yes. I have just been kind of mind numb and I've been over it, you know, but I show up every day and we smile and we just carry on till the next Star.
Yeah. Miss Bunny, what about you? Did you have any testing into your middle school? Did you have any testing issues last week? I know seventh grade was testing, or sixth grade was.
Yes, it was seventh grade testing. We had the same kind of issues where they tried to do it on Tuesday and everything went to heck in a handbasket.
Yeah.
And they just had to pause the whole thing and redo it on Thursday. So that was super exciting.
I bet. And Count, how have things improved for you? I mean, you were there. I mean, you're high school, so you didn't get as much of that. But how is the battle for getting seniors, you know, on board?
And they're working well. It's actually going very well. I mean, parents are receptive. I mean, we're reaching out to all students. And I think if you lead with a little bit of grace, like, we know it's not the easiest year. We know you're putting forth a lot of effort. We know you're considering all things that are going on. You're trying to just get there. And yeah, we're trying to help you get there. And it's going well. This has actually been a really, really good week in terms of communication. The growth and the progress of our kids, it's there. I just don't want them to run out of gas, you know, because they're like 98%. If you think about, you know, if you go from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade, they're literally like 98.5% or 99% of the way there.
Yeah.
You can just go ahead and finish that up and you don't have to worry about us anymore.
A strong breeze would make them graduate at this point.
Yes, it would. It would.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I feel like you're making progress too. And I'm glad. We talked about this before, but I don't think we talked about it on the main feed at all. When you said you were getting some issues with parents getting upset because they're hearing it for the first time that their child might not graduate or whatever the news was, how supportive was your admin in helping you? I know as a team, your counselors are pretty there, but are your admins, do they have your back during this?
You know what? They are, and they're becoming just as creative as we are about coming up with ways to make sure students get the credits that they need. But never once have I felt like I've been thrown under the bus, and I feel like I am 100% supported, and I have never said that in like my 16-year educational career. So it's a really good feeling, and we're all working together. So no one's, you know, no one's talking behind your back or no one's stabbing you in your back. We're all trying to get kids across the stage because as much as, you know, as difficult as this is, it's as challenging as it is, we all want the same thing. And that's for everyone to throw your hat up at this graduation when we're going to keep spreading germs because we're going to be in person, but we get that taken care of, then you get your piece of paper, you can take your diploma and whatever virus we're spreading and go home.
That's, I'm really happy for you. I know it can be nights. Yeah, we've talked about being in toxic workplaces before and how much of a change it can mean. You don't need to quit teaching. Sometimes you just need a change of atmosphere or a change of zip code.
Very true.
It can make a huge difference. I'm so happy you found that.
This is from our Teacher Needs Drink contact page from name Tired Teacher. And here's our message. I just wanted to say how much I love your podcast. I started really binging it every day last week, and it's really making my life better. I'm a first-year teacher, and I'm teaching hybrid kindergarten. I'm live with all my kids all day using the same schedule the eighth graders use on the other side of campus. I have had a lot of problems at my current school, including being gaslighted, not being helped until March, and then made to feel incompetent when I am formally observed. I have already put in my notice that I am not coming back next year. We have curriculum that is not appropriate culturally or grade-wise, but we cannot supplement. We cannot go against what admin says, and there is no room for suggestion. I say all this to say thank you for doing what you do because I know y'all are a light in this darkness to a lot of people. What a great message.
Very sweet.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Mr. or Mrs. Tired Teacher. It's
bless
rough
your,
out there.
Bless your soul for teaching hybrid kindergarten. Good Lord.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's need to give that teacher a drink.
First year, and you start in the middle of all this, and it's just that tough that it's like, yeah, I don't see this happening.
You know what else, too? But I was thinking when they said that she teaches hybrid kindergarten, also on the same schedule as an eighth grade. So if they're teaching at the same time, what if we have students who have brothers or sisters that are on at the same time and then can't log in because they're sharing a device?
It's a thing.
Yeah. It is a thing. So good for her for doing what she needs. She said, I'm out. Which we talked about that. Did we just mention that? Sometimes it's easier to find a better place than quit teaching altogether.
And especially, I think there's going to be a lot of people or a lot of districts looking for teachers next year. Because I know there's a lot of people who have jumped ship and who are done. And I've also heard some crazy stories of like principals deciding to non-renew a lot of staff because they decide this is the time to cut those who weren't working hard enough during the pandemic, which is bullshit. I commend you for being brave enough to skip school or to skip school. I commend you for being brave enough to jump ship and go to another school or be done or just to find something else. That is really hard, especially when you've dedicated the time going through school or you've established yourself or if you bought a house or you have a relationship in that area. It's hard, but you know, this whole virtual thing definitely makes it a lot easier to jump ship. So kudos to you, tired teacher. I hope you land somewhere amazing. That's what I want to say.
Yes. Da, 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 da. All right, so this is from Reddit user Delivery More, and the title is Student Stole My Car. Whenever playing Two Truths and a Lie with students, I always include a student once stole my car as a truth. Students always beg me for the story. This takes place back in 2013, 100 years ago.
It does feel like another lifetime. Yeah.
On my first day as the substitute teacher at a continuation school, I had pretty rough classes. Students were disrespectful, which is the same in any high school for subs, but nothing appeared to be all that out of the ordinary. I had been warned by other subs to be careful in this school, but I never judge kids based on reputation. I try to be as open-minded as possible. The teacher I was stepping in for had, according to the other teachers, gotten fed up and just walked out the day before. No lesson plans. But that didn't matter to me. I am very good at figuring out the theme, coming up with a lesson, and implementing it on the fly. Please come sub for me. But this often takes all my focus and kept me distracted from paying attention to small details. During the second to last class period, a student asked to use the restroom. I had forgotten that I had left my purse on the desk near the hall pass. After spending over half an hour cleaning up and leaving the teacher detailed notes, I headed out to my car. I was entering the parking lot when I realized that my keys were missing. I looked in my parking space, and lo and behold, my car was gone.
Oh, geez.
I stood there for a full minute before I could process what had happened. I went back to the office, stunned, and said that my car was missing. The receptionist told me that a set of keys had been found in the boys' restroom. My apartment keys were there, no car keys.
Oh, God.
I admit that I made a scene. Yeah. Fortunately, there were only a couple of students, but the administrators and office staff saw me. That had been my car since high school graduation. My beloved blue Honda Civic, whom I named Wilson, was extremely reliable and had seen me through over 10 years of college, drama, and awesome road trips. I was beside myself sobbing. The vice principal led me into her office and called the police for me. I texted my husband to come pick me up. We spoke to the cops briefly before I went home. Believe it or not, the same teacher didn't show up again. Long story. I can't imagine.
She had a new car. Why would she come back?
I went back to continue the assignment. The whole school of less than 300 students knew by then, but I carried myself with dignity. I had to after the previous day. A few students asked me what had happened, including the thief I later found out, and I just said that it would be taken care of. That night, I got a call from the sheriff's office. The good news? Wilson had been found, whole and in driving condition.
Wilson!
The bad news? All my clothes, CDs, and other minutiae inside were gone. I didn't care. I had my car back. I picked up Wilson the next morning. John, 16-year-old male, had a record of stealing cars. Of the previous 5 cars he had stolen, 3 had been wrecked. He was under house arrest, only allowed to go to school, therapy, and home. He had wanted to use the restroom as an excuse to skip school. He saw my purse and, while I wasn't looking, snatched my keys and grabbed the restroom pass. He took the car key off the ring, placed my key on the urinal flusher, hopped the fence, and drove Wilson home. And then John showed up to school the next day in my car.
What?
He talked a couple of blocks away, but the nerve of that little jerk. Now, the sheriff knew about this kid, so when he got the list of my students, he recognized John's name. On a hunch, he staked out the kid's house that afternoon and caught John parking Wilson in his driveway.
Oh, man.
John was arrested less than an hour later. When questioned, he insisted that the cool sub wouldn't press charges. Of course I would. He took my effing car. Luckily, I didn't have to. This was the kid's sixth offense, and the city was sending him to a boot camp / rehab center. The best part? There was one CD left in the car in the player. Apparently, this tough car thief was listening to the Frozen soundtrack the whole time.
Let it go.
The moral of the story, keep your personal belongings hidden from students. Be open-minded, but don't be foolish.
Oh, my
foolish.
That is goodness. Great.
Yeah. Yikes. All teachers, if you're subbing or anywhere, your personal things, if they're not on your body, put them in your desk and close the drawer. If it has one of those locks, do it. And also make sure you have a passcode on your phone, no matter what.
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
I'm always baffled by people like, yeah, the kid's gotten to my phone. I'm like, how? Right. What did they do? Do they have your thumbprint? No, they just opened it up. Like, why?
That's a swipe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming that person doesn't have anything personal, but still, no. You don't get to see that. That's mine. That's like looking at my underwear.
I actually had a teacher friend of mine. She was bragging about how, oh, I just leave my phone places. I never know where it's at. And then she was talking about the previous school that she was at. The kids had got her phone, opened it up, and started recording videos for her on it. And I'm thinking, you fool, they're doing way more than that, and you don't even know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. They could send messages that are coming from you. If you have any kind of banking stuff on there, like an app they could pull up and just take a look at.
That's what I was going to say. They can access your personal information. They can send themselves or someone else money. There's everything's on there.
Yeah, the kids don't need to see your dating profile either, because I can guarantee if I'm a student, I see my teacher has like Tinder and like, I forget what, Hinge and all the crap on there. I'd be looking to see what their pictures are, because that would be hilarious.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That is my go-to. I think pictures would be my go-to.
Yeah, no, I would definitely go look at pictures, but those are the things I don't want my students to see, because that's
mine. Absolutely
not. I'd probably go to videos.
Yeah, I got my phone's on lockdown. It's there. So you have to have my thumb or know my I think my own personal children probably know my phone, but my phone is pretty much connected to my hip all the time.
Always.
In fact, I have an Apple Watch, and the most use I get out of my Apple Watch is to page to find where my phone is.
Because it's black.
That's kind of like the reason. Like, it's cool that it counts steps and can tell me to breathe every now and then, or like do a Dick Tracy phone call. But yeah, I use it more just to page my phone than anything else.
It's true. I do the exact same thing. I don't know where my phone's at ever.
But it's always close by.
Always close by, yes.
I lost my phone for about 10 minutes today. I usually have it either like in my pocket or in my hand. I have a cabinet, and a kid had asked me for a spare mask because the strap had broken on theirs. And I went to this cabinet to get a spare mask for this kid and set my phone down inside the cabinet while I was futzing with the box. And then 10 minutes later went, where's my phone? And tore the room apart before I realized I had stuck it in the cabinet.
I have done that too. And you feel so dumb afterwards. I'm like, man.
Yes. Oh, they were mocking me openly. It's fine.
There was one time at the end of a really long workday, I had a mini fridge. I had a shared closet between my art teacher and I. So we could kind of like, we shared it, and we had a mini fridge and microwave in there. And I remember at the end of the day, I had some like, I don't know, like what are those healthy choice meals? Like what are those little frozen things that are horrible for you that you can put in the freezer and are supposed to be healthy and you can eat them for lunch? Anyway, I went to go put it in my freezer, and then I started to leave and I realized I couldn't find my wallet, and I started flipping out. Some kid must have stolen my wallet. I mean, I was out of the room and I talked to this person. I started running. I spent like an hour and a half. I had put it in the freezer with the stupid like Insta meal. And it was just, I was like, oh God, I'm a fucking moron. I'm going to read this article. This is from the Reddits, from user Cactus Monday. It's titled, Please, Parents, Accept Your Child's Neurodiversity. Please, 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 parents, just accept that your child has some neurodivergence. Everyone has some. We just happen to identify it in your kid. It's a good thing. It means we know more about them as a learner. It means we can provide the tools that will help them be confident and successful learners. Your child with ADHD is not less than. Your child on the spectrum has nothing wrong with them. You didn't screw up if your kids have dyslexia or depression or an intellectual disability. Your kids are so wonderful. They are these beautiful little seedlings that are going to grow into beautiful, fruitful trees. If you keep chopping off branches because it makes your tree look perfectly manicured and socially acceptable, you're going to end up with a stunted, sad tree that feels like something is wrong with it. You think that's a recipe for positive feelings around learning and their confidence as a learner? And we wonder sometimes why kids hate school. So many of the parents I talk to act like learner variability reflects poorly on them as parents. I had a student, sibling has ADHD, tell me the other day that while he strongly suspects he has ADHD, he hadn't pushed testing with his parents because they already feel like they have one screwed up kid and they don't want to admit they have two. I doubt that's the way the parents communicate this idea, but that's what the kid sees, and he suffers for it. And it breaks my heart to know that we could just get a diagnosis and a 504 and make life so much more comfortable for him. And please don't go for the old trope of, he can't focus, but he's so smart. There's always the, but X is so smart, it doesn't matter. Stop telling your kids they are so smart. When they fail at something, that I am so smart message gets destroyed, and so does confidence. Plus, smart isn't what matters. There are a million smart deadbeats everywhere. I was one for years. Parents always told me how smart I was when things didn't come easy to me. I felt like an utter failure. Tell your kids you're proud of how hard they work. Hard work actually means something. Being smart means nothing if you do nothing with it. Sorry, rant over. I just see so many kids with self-esteem issues because the adults in their life act like their learning difference makes them less than. I just love my students and want them to feel okay.
I'm ready to hear Lucille weigh in on this because you work with students with learning differences, right?
Yes, I do. I have a lot to say about this. So
go off, girl.
With this being said, both hand in hand. So kids that have, you know, their learning differences, and then the kids who are also told, you know, you're smart, you're just so smart, you can do this. And then when they do something and fail, they feel miserable because what they are told is what they believe. But if you're not telling them they're smart, or any kid, right, you're all on equal playing fields, which brings us to growth mindsets. So you have growth mindsets, and you also have things like our fixed mindsets. And the difference really between them is a fixed mindset is just people that believe that their intelligence is what it is and it can't ever change. Yeah. And then a growth mindset is like people that believe that intelligence and talents are actually learned through trial and error. With this being said, the kids with a growth mindset are, for example, you know, they believe intelligence can improve or enforce lifelong learning, or, you know, view feedback as a source of information, or view other success as a source of inspiration. Where, like, you got these fixed mindset kids who believe that intelligence and talent is what it is. Their flaws will be judged by others. Other people's successes means that they are failures, and they feel threatened by all of that. Your mindset is not controlled by your intelligence. So I have had so many kids that have had learning disabilities that it is very difficult for them every single day, but they keep trying and they are getting so much better. I have a little boy that could not speak a full sentence 2 years ago, and through tears and lots of hard work, we are now speaking full sentences and actually reading.
Woo!
I know.
Yes. I love it.
It's a big deal. So, you know, I feel like, I know, it's like I could go on forever. When people think about like these growth mindsets, you know, linking higher motivation, creativity, and error as correction is a good thing. And like growth mindsets with people, with their brain is more active when they are told that they can improve instead of saying like you're wrong. So it's all about what you're telling your kids, but don't ever tell. I believe that. Don't ever tell them they're smart. And this actually works in businesses and relationships and personal success.
Oh, like, yeah.
we can change our mindset. We absolutely can change our mindset. But for people with fixed mindsets, it's going to be extremely hard for them because they have to not only get over about the way they think, but they have to get over their feelings. So it's really super hard. And, you know, kids become better at life when, as adults, really, when they can learn from failure and they're stronger and strong-willed and much more resilient. And it's just all of that. I agree with everything that was said. So that is my two cents.
I think it's really important, number one, to try to get students to adopt a growth mindset, because I've met so many adults with a very fixed mindset that this is just the way it is. Uh-huh. Life just sucks. This school just sucks. So I'm just going to bide my time until I can do the one thing I like or whatever. And that's unhealthy. That's why we talk about, you know, there's nothing wrong with changing schools. Things can get better. There's nothing wrong with changing careers. It's difficult and it's scary as fuck. But you know what? You can make your life so much better. Or people who just don't want to try things. I've tried many, many bazillion different things in my life. And I really found some things I like that have ended up being exciting side hustles. But when you find the kids and adults who are just stuck, it's really even more sad in kids, because they're the ones like, I don't even want to do this work. Not because it's hard. It's because they just feel like no matter what, they're going to fail. So why even try? They feel like anytime they come to school, they're going to get into trouble. So what does it matter? Because they're going to get in trouble anyway, even if they're not doing anything wrong.
Right. And may I add, with you just saying that, the parents who have those fixed mindsets that are just like, you know, oh, well, you know, my kid can't, my kid can't be dyslexic. They can't have anything wrong with them. They cannot be intellectually disabled. Yes, they absolutely can be. And it's quite okay. I think they feed off their parents, right? Like they feed off that negativity and then they have a fixed mindset.
No, I can see it though. My daughter was having an extreme hard time this last year and a half with writing. She's a second grader and she can read incredibly well. She can do all kinds of stuff, but writing, she just could not do. It just kept getting worse and worse and things were going wrong to a point where it was becoming a structural point. And the teacher was like, you know, I think you might need to have her tested for dyslexia. And instead of me being scared that something might be wrong, quote unquote, I was really excited. Like, oh, this makes sense. We can fix things like this. And she ended up texting that she has dysgraphia, which is, I did not know, mm-hmm. dyslexia for writing, mm-hmm. where just for whatever reason, the brain just it struggles with that. But once we got a 504 in place and she started working with specialists, she improved almost overnight, like insane amounts with her abilities. Like, why? Like, I never fought it, but why would parents fight getting your children help so that they can thrive and get excited? Because before, she dreaded language arts. She did not want to do it. She loves reading, but she hated that because she just felt like she was struggling. Now she likes it again and she likes school again. I'm like, yeah, remove some of the boundaries. Get these kids a 504. Admit maybe there's an issue. Because, I mean, I didn't control that. She doesn't have dysgraphia because of anything I did. It's not because that basketball hit her in the head when she was two. That doesn't cause dysgraphia. Hey, guys, guess what?
What?
What's that?
We have a Patreon!
A Patreon!
That's right. Yeah. We have a Patreon. For as little as $5 to $10 a month, you can get access to all kinds of lost episodes, exclusive episodes, interviews with the cast. You get to chat with us. And every month, you get to earn yourself some cool Teacher Needs a Drink swag. And even better, this Friday, this very Friday, April 16th, we're having a Bad Teacher, the movie Bad Teacher, a watch party of that with all the patrons who want to come. And we're going to chat through the movie. We're going to play a drinking game. It'll be lots of fun. And so if you want to be part of the Bad Teacher Watch Party this Friday, you got to be a member of the Patreon. And there's all kinds of other extra stuff you get. We'll be doing a review next week of the movie, so you guys can hear that. And you also get to be the first to hear about our step bets. Yes, that's right. Step bet. I feel like I'm talking for a long time now, but I'm going to keep going. We just finished our first step bet. Actually, it's finishing this week. This is the last 3 or 4 days. On April 26th, we'll be starting our second step bet where you can join and sign up and you can hit your goals of making so much movement and steps every single day. And we're going to run it till the end of May. And at the end of May, we're done because school's out then. But this has been really good. We've gotten to know each other a little bit more. There's a very active chat conversation going on. So if you want to join us, you don't need to be a member of Patreon, but you can go download the Step Bet app and use the code TEACHER2. That's the number 2, TEACHER2, to find us. And then you can sign up and it'll be awesome. Be part of us. One of us. Yay! Hooray!
One of us.
This person asks you to chat about something they insist is important. The beginning of the conversation is confusing. Their language is filled with technical jargon and references to books you have not read. However, as they continue, they make more and more sense. The person seems to be making an argument about logic, truth, and how information should be processed. What they're saying is compelling, entertaining, and sensible, but the conversation ends with a curious twist. The reason this person is telling you all this is that they are now convinced that the earth is flat and they can prove it. This person goes on to explain how they've been writing about this theory on the internet and now have been asked to appear on popular TV news programs where they will debate traditional scientists about the shape of the earth. They're excited about this, but also nervous. They ask your advice on whether they should make the appearance. What do you say to this person?
Yikes.
Mr. Count Chocolate, how do you deal with this?
I gotta tell this person to save themselves the embarrassment and just come up with some reason to cancel this. Do not go on national television or sit down with an expert and make a fool out of yourself. I'd hate to see it. Now, on the flip side, I would 100% watch it. Simply to get a good laugh out of it. Like, man, I told that man, like, I told the man not to go ahead and do that, but he wouldn't do it. You know what? I gotta sit and watch it. I mean, popcorn, beverages, and everything.
How might could you not? Friend,
like, I got, it's must see TV. And I wouldn't miss it for the world. I would not miss that at all.
I would really look forward just the next time I see that person going, hey, I saw you on TV. Just do a good Larry David. Just kind of, and just kind of keep going. Miss Lucille, how would you deal with the flat earther?
I mean, I don't know. You know, for one, I will admit that I've had somebody try to talk me into, like, the world being flat.
Oh, dear.
It did not go so well. I had too many questions that they did not really have great answers for, which is not compelling. Like, if they could blow my mind with some real good nonsense, like real good nonsense, that'd be one thing. But, like, I'm like, well, if you're, you know, if you're so high and you see the curvature of the world, what does that mean? How can that happen? Where does the water go? Like, nothing. Yes, it would be a train wreck, a real nice train wreck. Absolutely, Count, you and I will just grab some popcorn and watch that all day.
Let's do it. It's a date.
The question was, would I encourage that person to go on TV or not? I mean, depends. It depends. So what broadcasting network are they going to? Because, it, you know, does it really matter at that point?
If they're talking about flat Earth, I mean.
Or like... I mean, all right, maybe I would just be like, don't do it, man. Just don't do it. But I feel like if they're flat earthers, I feel like they're not going to listen to me anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it matters, to be honest with you.
Ms. Bunny, what about you?
I probably would do the whole, you know, you do you, but make sure you are real sure about what you're getting into. Because it's going to get ugly. Like, if it's something you believe that strongly in, is it on cable access or is it on network news?
Yeah. How's that? What's that satellite orbiting around that's broadcasting your channel? Just curious.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap it up. All right, my friends, thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I'd like to welcome my returning host today, Mr. Count Chocolate. It was wonderful having you here.
Pleasure.
And Moose and Miss Lucille Lane, was wonderful hearing from you as well.
Oh, I love being here with y'all.
It's great. And Miss Bunny O'Hare, welcome back.
It is so good to be back. Thank you for having me back.
I am so glad you're back. All right, my friends, everyone take care of yourselves out there. Remember to write in if you can, and deep breaths, deep drinks, cheers. Woo! Yay!
This is where Cal should wrap.
All right, my friends, thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday and is sponsored by Lud Lam Dramatics. I'd like to thank our hosts who are with me today, Miss Lucy Lane, Mr. Count Chocolate, and of course, Miss Bunny O'Hare, as well as Miss Priscilla, who's by my side while I do all of this. Teachers, if you get a chance, we are doing our watch party this Friday, April 16th at 9 Central for anyone who's a Patreon member and wants to do the watch party of Bad Teacher with us, play drinking games, have a good time. And also on April 26th, that Monday, we're starting our second Teacher Needs a Drink Step Bet for only 5 weeks this time. And just get your health up. Everyone who's participated has loved it. It's been amazing. I think you can have a great time with it. It's awesome. If you want to join that, download the Step Bet app and use the code TEACHER2. That's the number 2, TEACHER2. All right, my friends, please make sure you are taking care of yourselves. You're staying healthy. If you have something you'd like to share with us, send us a message through Facebook or the contact page of our website, TeacherNeedsADrinkPodcast.com. All right, I plugged Patreon. I talked about Step Bet and the movie. My friends, I am tired. This podcast goes out in 50 minutes and is live, and then, you guys will hear it. So, I think I better wrap this up so I can get this out on time. Procrastination. All right, my friends, have a good night. Enjoy your week. Cheers.
To cut those who weren't working hard enough during the pandemic, which is bullshit. But
I agree.
Dude, I have tea for you after we're done recording.
Ooh, okay. I'm excited. I can't wait for you to spill tea.